What is up, you amazing listeners and viewers tuning in from whichever platform you love to get your podcast from? I'm your host, Chronic, from the Cannabis Chronicles on all major streaming platforms, and I have my co-host, Jason Strange, along with me. Say hi to the crowd, Jason.
What is up, guys? I hope everybody's doing great out there tonight.
Absolutely. I hope everyone's doing good, too, and I hope everyone's had a great new year, because this episode is going to be about New Year's resetting and all that fun stuff. So if you don't know, this is Tuesdays with TCK, and we have some amazing sponsors that allow us to do this show, so be sure to smash that like button, comment down below, and subscribe or follow along from whichever platform so you can show our sponsors some major love, which is Atlas Seed Company, Hydro Bucket, TMB Naturals, The Autoflower Review. They're all such amazing sponsors. So now, in today's video, we are going to, and podcast and audio, whatever you're listening from, we're going to, we're gonna teach you a thing or two about how we clean our gardens. Now, Jason does know kind of how I go about cleaning mine, because we actually had chats about this. But I'm gonna kind of break in with just the fun question, like always. So take it away.
Questions. Bro, what are you smoking tonight?
I threw you off at that one, because we usually have it.
Yeah,
on
you
it.
Did throw me off for that.
I have to do it. So I actually smoked on some Lemon Diesel and what's the other one? Incredible Bulk. What about you?
Nice, bro. Well, actively, we showing plants. We're getting ourselves aged. We're getting age gated.
Yeah. I always get age gated.
Yeah, so I got some ice cream cake ground up right here. Unfortunately, I had to swing by the dispo because I just ran out of my critical 2.0 homegrown, and that blows. But this is actually fire, man. Like, this shit was terpy. I think it was somewhere in the upper threes.
Nice.
With the terps, yeah, man. And ice cream cake's always a wonderful flavor.
I love ice cream cake. I've grown it a couple times. It's a solid strain. Very, very solid choice. Well, now to break into
Atlas. I mean to cut you off. Atlas Seeds ice cream cake fast.
Okay.
Boom.
Okay.
That bad boy. I have 4 beans left. They're like my holy grail. I'm going to pop them again soon here. But that last run I had with them, frosty, dense, quick, and I mean the stacking on them was beautiful. It was just really good, real turf.
Yeah, the fruit by the foot that I have is unbelievably like fruit, like super fruit, like unbelievable, extremely frosty, great for hash or great for just smoking. So I'm excited to take that one down. Now in today's episode, sorry, my chinchilla decided to bark a couple times. In today's episode, we are going to get into cleaning. Now, cleaning can be many of things. Maintenance, daily maintenance, weekly maintenance, deep cleanings, resetting. We'll kind of break into it at various points. So I want to start with, what is kind of your daily to weekly maintenance or routine that you like to have in your garden?
So for me, man, I have a daily when I spot check the garden daily. I make sure that I don't see any debris sitting and just becoming decomposing trash on the bottom of my garden. And little specks too, because I make sure that floor stays clean, because little specks, a little bit of dirt today, that might not be a big deal to you, but those little specks will make you not see the little bugs that might be walking around. So all the little specks get cleaned up. And I usually just do a diluted water and bleach, a little bit on a rag, you know, and just wipe it around and make sure that floor stays clean. So that's kind of a daily. Weekly, I'm cleaning out them reservoirs, making sure the reservoirs just clean. Aerating those reservoirs, though, can help elongate that factor. So that's a big one. And I know there are chemical additives you can help to do that, too. But for me, you know, basically just giving them a good rinse and reset. What about you, bro?
As I was dying over here from apparently the dab punching back. that's actually perfect. I was hoping you were going to mention bleach. So I get asked all the time, what is the cleaning chemical that I use to like do resets or big cleans? My daily cleaning, sometimes I do get lazy with like how dirty I let my garden get, depending on what stage my garden's in. If I'm in late flower with pollen, I kind of let my garden get a little dirtier, because pollen gets everywhere, and literally I have to do a deep clean no matter how good of a clean I do every day. But generally, my daily maintenance, and something I've been very consistent with, is picking up all my leaves, making sure my plants are all very healthy and happy, checking my plants. Like you said, cleaning the dirt and stuff like that, it is a pain in the ass to have to clean daily, but if you start leaving dirt piles, it does build up and become bigger problems, and it's just bad to have dirt in your garden. There's a lot of issues that can come with it, different molds and mildews and things like that, also bugs like that kind of stuff, so very, very spot on with wanting to clean up different, just those types of things, messes in your garden. One big one I think a lot of people forget is making sure that the bottom of your containers are lifted up enough to have air or some sort of aeration if you're using soil, because sometimes it can, when your roots get locked under, there can be a lot of kind of gross smelling water that builds up to be like algae and bacteria and slime.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excuse me. So you don't want that, but one thing you do want to do for your daily routine or cleaning, I just like to use alcohol. Isopropyl alcohol is really great just on a day-to-day to wipe everything down. When the plants get moved out of the room or I have a full clean space, I'll take a bucket with diluted bleach, kind of on a heavier thing, and I'll wipe down everything. With pollen, that's a really interesting one because I do breeding. So whenever I have pollen, once the plants are done and fully seeded and I take all of the plants down that have seeds and I've gone through everything, I have to take my plant take my room section by section out of the room. And as I'm taking it, I have to dip or wipe everything off, like literally everything.
Yeah, everything has to be wet. Right? Yep. Everything has to be wet, right?
Yeah, because pollen gets killed with water. So I do a bleach mixture just to make sure that it's cleaning. And then I let everything dry. Yep. And then I have to take everything. I basically usually use it to reset and rearrange my room into a better space that I'm feeling. And I make sure to get all the dirt and everything out of the room. I vacuum. I wipe down the floors, wipe down the poles, wipe down the ceiling, wipe down every inch of my room. It's a very long process, and sometimes that can take upwards of 2 days, just depending on, how much time I have to dedicate it or just, how much shit I have in the open. Now I put everything in bins, and just lessening, if you're going to breed, lessening the surface area that you're going to have to wipe down is always the best. When it comes to cleaning and daily routines or weekly routines, if you want to lessen your weekly routines and daily routines, having a less plants in a larger space is a lot easier to manage than having a lot more plants in a crowded space. Exactly. And then weekly routine, you were spot on. Having an aerator in your reservoirs, or maybe you make compost tea so that you can feed and you're doing less maintenance and you don't mind. Maybe you're a grower who does no training on your plants and you just do bamboo stakes, and that's your less maintenance and your less cleaning. That's perfect. I do clean my reservoirs about every 7 to 14 days, just give or take how life goes. But I don't really surpass the 14-day mark. So,
no, because you'll start to get algae starts to build up in there, and then you're into aquarium scenario.
Yep.
And your water is going to start doing things too. You're going to get that pH drift.
Yep.
From having that water sit there for too long. Your water's literally going through a nitrogen cycle.
Yeah.
As it sits there and aerates. So, yeah, got to get that out of there.
And I'm adding new water within this time frame, too. Every time that reservoir gets half full, I'm adding new water to it. So that's a good habit to get into. And then when you clean your reservoirs, or when I clean any of my equipment that is directly in contact with soil or will be used for those types of things, I clean it with dish soap and hot water.
Yeah, give it a good rinse, just general cleaning of everything. And me and you have talked about this in a past conversation, and I don't know if you want to jump into the cleaning your humidifier, but that's a big one too, you know what I mean? On your daily routines, when you're checking humidifier, give it a rinse out.
Yep.
It takes you 5 minutes, and It's going to save you a lot of headache.
Yeah.
And maybe even getting sick.
You're not wrong, because the ones that you buy for in stores that are for your breathing, they'll tell you to put specific things in your water, only use distilled water because of types of buildup. They even sell, my humidifiers have filters now. And you can put a little filter in it, and it that way if you use tap water, it'll take some of that stuff out, and it'll help kind of rid that kind of crap out of it. But you do have to clean it once a week, and the filter only lasts, I think, about 20 to 30. I'm going to be flat out. I've given up on trying to humidify my space at this point. I've realized I'm going to have to get a massive humidifier for just where I live, and I'm not trying to throw money out on it. I've killed so many humidifiers running them 24/7 that I'm just like, you know, the way I manage my humidity now is when it's a vegging garden, I have a lot of plants, and it's wet soil, that ambient humidity kind of cranks up my room. So it works for me that way.
So me and you both are using auto pots, and and actually an auto watering system like auto pots, it's actually adding that little bit of humidity to your room.
It is.
Now me and you are on the polar opposite spectrum. Now correct me if I'm wrong, but your average humidity is probably 30%.
Yeah, you're actually spot on.
Yeah, so my average humidity here in Maryland, 70 to 80%. Yep. Right, so I'm running dehumidifier all the time, which I've been researching, can I use that dehumidifier water? And from what I've researched, yes, but that I got to remineralize it, and then I might be concerned the metals that the condensator was made out of, so those things are a question to me. But boy, that thing runs all the time.
Yeah, it's like using reverse osmosis runoff water. Like, the best things for runoff water is outdoor garden plants that you're not eating or consuming. Exactly. So roses, those types of things. But cannabis is so interesting, because anything you put in the water is going to go in the plant, basically. You want to be
into you.
Mm-hmm, you want to be very, very careful. So that's also why when I say I use bleach, I'm wiping everything down, and then the space is drying before plants are going back into that area.
100%.
And the whole time I have fans, and my doors are open, wide open. You should be very careful using bleach. And if for those of you who are listening who don't know, I always feel silly that I have to say this, but again, there's a lot of people who aren't taught this. Never, if you're going to use bleach, only use bleach. Don't mix it with other things. Because if you don't know if ammonia is not in the other product, you can end up making, I forget what type of gas, and you'll end up killing yourself. So,
yes.
Don't do that.
Yeah. No, bleach by itself. And air that shit out, because you remember the one night I talked to you and I was like headache over. I had just cleaned the tent, and my girlfriend was like, "Babe, you need to come upstairs. That is ridiculous down there." Because I'm OCD and I'm doing the floor. I'm mopping floors and I'm, yeah, you know what I mean.
Dude,
air that shit out.
Honestly, my setter got me. My fiance. I got a very valuable lesson after I told her you should be very careful with bleach. She had a hairstylist do her ombre and bleach burn her like throat and stuff like that from the fumes. And and it wasn't like the ombre was a bad, it's just the amount of bleach that you're using. And that, I was like, yeah, you have to be really careful. I had this experience years back when I was a dog handler where I was cleaning this dog kennel like thing that was like 6 feet, and it had an open top, but it was like this crated top piece that dogs couldn't jump vertical, so it was kind of enclosed, and I was cleaning with bleach, and I almost killed myself, because I literally I passed out face first into the door and opened the suite for myself. But this guy Max ran over and he was like, "Yo, what the fuck, are you okay?" He was like freaking out. I was like, I couldn't breathe, what the fuck. I was completely just what happened? And he's like, "Dude, how much bleach did you use?" And I was like, I didn't realize there was so much fumes, and I just I got lightheaded, and next thing you know, I was out, and it's like, it's that quick. And then we had another girl who mixed bleach with this other product that had ammonia in it, and she literally was like, I'm pretty sure I very close to gassing herself. She had to go to the hospital. Yeah, dude, it was rough.
Good Lord. Yeah, so everyone be careful out there with the bleach.
Don't gas yourself with bleach. But that's basically, I'm not going to keep this episode too crazy long. This is pretty much what I do for cleaning. Now I'm trying to think of, oh, I guess, you know what I can, there's a few products that you could use in your system. So, we'll start with germination. And this is a trick that I told you about. You've asked how I germinate my seeds. I soak my seeds in 3% hydrogen peroxide. So I do 1/3 3% hydrogen peroxide to 2/3 distilled water. That's a great way to start the process in a very clean method, making sure that your plants aren't started off in life dirty. Any equipment you're using, like I said, cleaning with dial antibacterial soap or some sort of soft soap or some sort of antibacterial soft soap is what you should be using. And using those sort of things on your equipment will be really, really nice. It will be with warm water. It'll take everything off, kill stuff, surface kill. And then if you want to go a bit further, you can alcohol wipe things, but that's not necessary. So from seedling stage to juvenile stage, it's pretty much just any equipment you're using on your plants has to be alcohol wiped if you're cutting into your plant. Like if it's
100%.
Yeah, if it's your hands, you should, if you're going to just use your hands, you should wipe your hands off just like with alcohol to free them from the oils, just to basically get the base oils off your hands.
I mean, to be honest, you should be thoroughly cleaned before you go into your garden. Yeah. Or just stay out of your garden. You don't need to be in there.
And hold that point that you just said, because it brings me to another topic after we're done with this. That's all part of cleanliness.
Sure.
So make sure you're wiping shear blades anytime you're doing trimming. If you're working with gloves, if you're training one plant, wipe your gloves or change your gloves in between training other plants, those kinds of things. The big one is IPM, you know, have a good IPM type management. Have something that you love that's natural. There's a lot of essential oils that kill plants, cinnamon oil and various other things kill pests that attack plants.
Let me read them a list real quick.
Garlic,
clove, cinnamon, peppermint, white pepper. Those are all things that are, you know, the bugs are just going to run there. It's not going to be something that's going to kill them.
Yeah.
But it's going to make it unpleasant to them. A high Brix. Mm. The bugs, they take a bite. It's like something that's too sweet. You ever had something that's too sweet and you're like, ugh, it's just disgusting to you and you want to put it down? And that's what the bugs do when there's a high Brix.
Cinnamon makes gnats explode from the inside.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go. And then, those little gnats.
You know, if you really have an outbreak and you don't know what you have in your soil, kind of a cure-all to killing everything in your soil. Now, mind you, you're going to have to rebuild a microbial life and potentially do more of like compost tea feedings, because what you're adding to the soil is essentially going to kill everything that's microscopic. Diatomaceous earth, but I'm going to do a fair warning. Using it indoors is very, very, very much a pain in the fucking ass. No one, when I first ever used that product, told me that diatomaceous earth was fiberglass shards for one. So here my dumbass is as I open the bag and start pouring, and there's fucking powder everywhere. Like, going in the air, and I'm like, I close the bag, I'm like, nope, and I put my shirt up, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, I go research it. Well, it's fiberglass shards, and it's very, very, very bad to inhale. So when doing it indoors, you have to be very, very careful. So here's what I suggest. If you have to use diatomaceous earth because you need to keep a clean garden because of pests, what you do is you should wet down some soil. You should pour diatomaceous on the soil outdoors, mix it up, and bring it indoors. Now, I know, outdoors. I don't mean, like, set it on the concrete. I mean, keep it in a bucket, walk out on your patio, pour the stuff out so that the excess flows out, and you should be wearing a mask of some sort, like an N95 or like some sort of respirator. Mix it in wet and it's perfectly fine, but that basically kills and cuts up like microscopic bugs and stuff like that.
So you're gonna laugh. Let me jump in there real quick. So that diatomaceous earth specifically is diatom algae fossils. And a diatom algae is the first algae you'll see appear in your aquarium right after the nitrogen cycle occurs. It's the brown algae you see form on the glass. Wow. All the brown algae that crawls all over your stuff when you first season an aquarium. So diatoms, fossilized, then crushed up because they harvest those fossils. And like you said, they're like little sharks.
Yeah, it's like fiberglass
and
shit.
They literally cuts the flesh of any exoskeleton bugs and dehydrates them out.
Perfect. There we go. See, people probably would have been like, oh, so it's fiberglass because of my explanation, but no, so it was diatom shards, but they're fiberglass. So,
but I didn't know that it would kill. So you think it's negative effect on the actual microbiology also, like microbes?
I don't know. I've never actually researched it.
The beneficial bugs.
I'm guessing the tiny little dudes would be all right because they could maneuver. I don't know how that shit works in nature. I don't know if it would. It's curious because.
You got me wondering because I use the stuff like a madman. It's funny. I have like a weird little applicator that I use to squirt it on.
I don't know. This is where it's like I'm gonna have Taylor Robinson. We're gonna do a pest. We're gonna hold that question and ask Taylor Robinson. That's the dude who does.
It's also a great source of silica.
Then it's gotta be because I know there's benefits to it because like.
Yeah. I mean, I've been running it. I've been running it in all of my soils.
Yeah, now, I've ran it before.
Remember that outbreak I had? Mm-hmm. That's what I had that shit like in around every edge of the corners down here. It's hilarious looking, and I just make sure my dogs don't get near it because I don't want them doing like a cocaine rail of diatomaceous earth.
No, Sparky. So right there, we'll have to look into that more, but I don't want to just sit on that, but that, you know, so that's basically what I do for juvenile stage. Now, when it comes to flower stage is a little more, you have to be really, really specific, and careful about everything you're cross-contaminating. You don't want any infections. You don't want any botrytis or mold. So you need to keep your environment nice. You need to make sure you're picking up spills and leaves and dead leaves and you're doing all your proper trimming.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Powdery mildew.
Yeah.
In that stage, I think we're all going to be most concerned about PM. For me, I feel like it's genetics that's going to be predisposed to like getting PM. Cause I'm in a pretty humid environment. I haven't seen it, but I haven't run like a bag seed or just, I'm not getting.
It's also high. It's just
genetic.
It's a lot of things. So, I mean, it's people who grow plants that are very leaf crowded in wet areas. It's maybe people who are using foliar sprays to feed. Maybe it's as simple as you brought a house plant in that had it. I mean, there's powdery mildew is a bitch and a half to kind of like diagnose where did it exactly come from, because to be honest, it could have like came from a soil that you brought it. It could have been dormant in the plant and then all of a sudden just came out because it got wet enough because it had those spores or something. But basically, in flower, people hate hearing this. If you get powdery mildew, you're fucked. Like, and I, that's just me because I don't smoke spores that are mold, and it's extremely dangerous to do so. So if to prevent it would be if you're in a truly, truly humid environment, you need to invest in a really quality dehumidifier. They're kind of a bit of an expense, but
mine was $400.
Yeah, but if you look at the cost of how much a plant, you know, cost to grow over the span of time, and then you fuck it up at the end, you know, you're basically throwing $400 out the money, you know, out the window with every harvest. So it's a trade-off. It sucks. And this is where I like to have products like the Canitrol or something like it, but I'm going to just say if you're in a humid state, the Canitrol is probably going to be something that's up your alley because it's a humidor type thing that automates the environment. Now, the reason that might help with powdery mildew is because you're going straight from harvest to the drying unit that's going to help dry, and it has fans that are pulling the humidity out. So that will help at least take the cure, because a lot of powdery mildew happens in dry and cure stage. Now, as far as getting powdery mildew while you're growing your plant, good airflow, quality fans. Make sure you're cleaning your fans. Your fans aren't dusty, dirty, and gross. That's another part of cleaning. Make sure that you have a good amount of spread in your canopy. You're using bamboo sticks or something to spread out your canopy. You're doing nice defoliation on big leafing in certain areas where, you know, there's big leaves. Don't use foliar sprays if you're in a humid area, because it's just only going to increase the humidity. It's going to cause pooling of water. And then last thing that actually applies to this and was to the point I told you to hold on to earlier, a lot of people forget this. Never ever go into your garden if you've left your house in any way, shape, or form and gone outside in grass, long grass, or into anyone else's home or into an office building anywhere. I only tend to my garden when I'm at home and before I go to work. And then when I get home from work, I take my dog out, I go and take a shower, and then I go tend to my garden. I had an episode with Taylor Robinson where he talked about how bloodborne pathogens can actually be spread to plants. And he had to tell people, a whole dispensary grow op, that their grow op essentially had like hepatitis.
Yeah, it is a thing. When I was in the restaurant industry, we all actually had to be vaccinated because we came in contact with some produce that was contaminated. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's a real thing. You should be very aware about going, you know, there's a lot of hikers out west, some hiking out east, but a lot of hikers out west. Going into long grass or going into grass of any sort, walking your dog, that kind of thing, there are so many microscopic bugs that can jump onto you, and also spores of PM or various molds that you can bring into contact. So don't even, you know, go take a shower, put the clothes in the laundry bin, and then go do your stuff. So that's going to be kind of like my overall cleaning. And then the last little, I guess, tidbit I'll add at the end that's for just extra. This is always funny because every time everyone asks me, Chronic, why don't you ever stream or do a video of you collecting pollen? If you're wondering how to collect pollen the cleanest way, this is not a joke. I do it butt-ass naked. I literally am in my garden completely naked. Pollen, it is very high-stress training for everyone. There is nothing like getting a fucking nug right up the ass. I'm joking. No, there is a lot of reason to it. It's not so weird thing. So pollen travels seven miles on air. It's lighter. The particles themselves are lighter than O2, so they can float. So when you see it go, pff, it not only does it go, pff, but there's microscopic particles that have already hit your wall. Yeah. You know, so wiping things down with alcohol are key. If I was wearing clothing, I'd have to soak myself in alcohol. Instead, I can just spray the air, kind of do a twirl, la-da-da, and let the fucking alcohol burn every fucking part of my body. And this is what I do for breeding. Now, when I have a facility, I will be all cool, like the cool cats, and have one of those little rooms that mist, you know what I'm saying, and just mist water. But this is what I do for at-home breeding. And if you're trying to be a breeder that doesn't cross-contaminate pollen or basically causes pollen to be in places throughout your house because of allergies and things like that, because that's another thing to consider. I don't have allergies like a normal person. Like, I don't sneeze when fall happens. But if I get a massive dose of pollen straight to the face, which is what happened the other day when I was doing my seeds harvest, I fucked up and I literally tripped forward and kind of like face hit this plant, and it literally just pollened all over my face. And I was like, oh God, this is going to be rough. And I was done for like 2 to 3 days. Like, this is the first day I don't sound like Squidward. So I'm really glad that this podcast, I don't sound like Squidward. But yes, so pollen is kind of the craziest thing. I'm not going to touch too much more on that because people usually don't breed. But that's, I would say that is a good, well-rounded outlet of how you should clean your garden. Wouldn't you say so?
I would say so. you know, make sure everything's wiped down. And when you're resetting, you should just go ahead and break everything down anyway, really, to be honest. You're going to want to clean off those filters on those carbon filters, the pre-filters, you know. You should be using one. Yeah, and just break everything down, man. Make sure everything's wiped out. Because everything, your fans, they collect so much stuff on those blades.
Yep.
Clean those down. Just, you know, what the hell? Reset it all. It's a time, the opportunity to give everything a little bit of a wipe. And if you don't know what to wipe it down with just water, like you said.
Yep, water's a good one for pollen. Water in a soft soap is a great one if you need to, like, clean tools. But if you're full resetting and wiping down most of the space, as long as your plants are out, bleach diluted is great. Yeah, my next purchase, you mentioned the carbon filters. I'm buying those fucking AC Infinity things where you can pour the rocks in. Yo, those things are cool. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's just awesome because you're saving the planet with all that trash.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like you're throwing away a muffler every time away one of those.
And I've thrown away probably...
Think about how many mufflers you've thrown away.
At least like 20, bro. You know, listen, to be fair, I've tattooed a lot more plastic into this earth than anything. Let's be real here. Woo!
I can't say anything.
All right, on that note, we are going to sign off. And if you have any questions whatsoever, please comment down below. If you have any tips or tricks on how you like to clean your garden, maybe a product you use, comment down below. We always like to hear different things, different ways. If you like to hear us blab about another certain specific topic, let us know. We're going to be specifically touching on autoflowers this next episode. I just thought it would be nice to enter the new year talking about cleaning the garden, resetting and all that, because I actually just had to do that, and a lot of people generally do a lot of spring cleaning or New Year's cleaning just to kind of branch into the new year. So I hope you all enjoyed this podcast. I'm Chronic. That is Jason Strain.
I'm Jason.
Or Shadow Strain.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Jason, whatever you want to call
it. Or Strange. No. Go follow him. Shadow, is it shadow.strain or...
Yep, shadow.strain.
Go follow him at shadow.strain on Instagram. I'm the .cannabis chronicles on Instagram. And if you guys want to see us on YouTube, you can check out TCK, the Cannabis Chronicles YouTube channel, as well as podcast. And you can check us out on the Autoflower Review podcast, Discord, and all that social media fun stuff. We're going to be doing more cool videos here soon. And I think one of the upcoming videos I'm going to get... Jason and I to potentially do as a fun kind of tattoo artist thing, because we both are tattoo artists. We might go on Reddit and look at some bad tattoos with you guys and smoke some weed while doing it. So yeah, that should be kind of fun. So,
Hey, bro, what? How many subscribers are we at on the YouTube?
On the Cannabis Chronicles, we're at 15,600 and growing.
Okay, what kind of number are we going to shoot for me to shave this beard?
Oh, God. Okay.
What kind of number, guys?
Let's hit 20K? Let's 20K mark?
Okay, yeah, I'll shave this beard for 20K. Let's get this up to 20K.
That's 5,000 subscribers.
Yeah, let's do it, and I'll shave this beard.
All right.
And then you'll watch me grow back.
Damn, that's heavy commitment. We'll go baby face together. I'll just shave the beard the same day.
You guys will get to see that I have a full throat tattoo underneath.
Oh,
here.
Yes. We'll unveil the throat tattoo. Well, maybe we'll do a giveaway to see who guesses your throat tat.
Yeah. Oh, you know what we'll do? We'll see if they can guess where my chin is. Where's the chin? We're gonna do like a like markers, right, as it comes down, and then people can mark the number based on the distance. And then maybe we'll do a giveaway.
We'll do like a side one. Does he have a butt chin or a normal chin?
Where is it? What is it?
We need to know. Alrighty. Well, without further ado, I hope you all enjoyed this show. We'll be back every single Tuesday. I know today's Wednesday, but we are going to get back on schedule. The holidays was absolute madness and craziness. We have some really cool guests coming up. Jason managed to snag like 4 or 5 guests that are absolutely phenomenal. We have Joshua Sheets coming on.
We got Rob. Yep, and we got Rob. He's going to reschedule. He's cool. Coming back. We just, you know, we got tied up that other day.
Yes. And so a bunch of things are going to be really, really badass and in the works. So, yeah, look forward to 2024. I hope you all have an amazing New Year's. And be sure to like, comment, subscribe, smash that follow button on whichever platform you're tuning in from to show our sponsors some major love. And that is Atlas Seed, TMB Naturals, Hydro Bucket, and the Autoflower Review. Be sure to go check them out on Discord and follow them along. Most definitely, they're doing some amazing stuff. So without further ado, much love, happy growing, and peace, everyone.
Peace.